This is the Muscles and Management Podcast, where we build your body and your business. Talking all things training, sports performance, and business for athletes and aspiring coaches to enhance your training and better your career. Muscles and Management is brought to you by Challenger Strength with your host, Jerry DeFilippo.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 198 of the Muscles and Management Podcast. As always, please rate, review, and subscribe if you haven't already. Greatly appreciated, as always. Mike, welcome. How are you? I hope you're doing well on this fine Wednesday evening.
Yeah, I'm doing good. Sounds like you had a little issues making it home, but
<laughs> Yeah, I'm
good over here.
The skies opened up in New Jersey. I think in New York too, because the Yankees are currently postponed or in rain delay. I think I've said this on this show before. I said it to somebody recently. I'm like really bad at checking the weather. So for me, like I do well getting dressed when it's like thick in the middle of a season and like you know what to expect.
<laughs> Yeah, because those
transitional periods aren't great for me because I don't know. I never look at the weather. I don't know if like it was something where I didn't want to see if it was going to be bad weather because then I'd be like knowing that's coming and like be dreading it. I don't know. So generally speaking, like have no clue what's going on. So I'll be like at the facility and someone's like, oh, it's going to rain today. And I'm like, ah, shit. Had no idea. It's interesting. So like, it's pretty funny. Like I usually have no clue. So, it started thundering it before at work and I was like, what the hell's going on? And then it's been like downpouring ever since. So hopefully, clears up soon, but we'll see. So we're back this week. We were off last week with the holiday weekend. It's just honestly too crammed for me to get a show in with only being open for 4 days. We had everybody kind of shoehorned in Monday through Thursday with training. And then I left earlier Thursday. I had a like the holiday weekend, Memorial Day weekend in New Jersey is like a pretty big thing. Like everyone goes down to South Jersey, Jersey Shore. And on top of that, which it's usually a tradition for me and my friends, my one friend just got engaged like a month ago. So we did like a pretty much a quick bachelor party for him. There's some like family circumstances for his fiance that warrant the attempt to get a wedding in a little faster than usual. So we in this summer, probably. So we wanted to make sure that he had something before that happened. So we put something together for him in Atlantic City, which if you know of Atlantic City, if you're, even if you're not from Jersey, it could be a fun time. So yeah. I had all that going on. So anyway, long story short, we didn't record last week. But yeah, Mike and I have been talking about it. I don't have as many late night obligations during the summer as I usually do. So we should find a nice time that'll be good to record going forward. So it should be pretty good.
Sounds good to me.
So we obviously had a whole outline ready to go last week, and I still want to use it because I think there was some good stuff on there. But I'm trying to think, like, before we get to any tweets or anything, like, what has been going on, you know, whether it's my TikToks, the breakdowns. Have you seen anything that, like, you have noticed has been interesting when it comes to stuff that I've been posting? Because I have done quite a few. Because it's been 2 weeks, like there have been some different breakdowns that I've done on social media.
I definitely wanted or was hoping that you'd kind of outline and touch more on the Christian McCaffrey stuff on TikTok that you did.
Yeah, so that was a tough one because I knew there would be some people that commented things about his injury history, and I mean, listen, like I've as far as I know, like. Rolling an ankle or having an ankle sprain from like someone hitting you and you landing awkwardly or something like that. Like you really, there's nothing you're really going to do about that. Like, I mean, there's a, you know, sector of people out there that talk about like, oh, how you land, how you do whatever. But like, it all just, it changes when you're getting hit by somebody. Like when you get knocked off balance, like there's really not much you're going to do when you just catch the ground a certain way. You know, I think I think he had a shoulder injury from like, diving or doing something like, again, nothing that like really was his fault. You know, when I say fault, meaning like, you know, if you train a way that isn't conducive to staying healthy and like you pull a hamstring or you tear a meniscus or you land poorly because you don't train the right way, like you could make an argument that like those types of soft tissue injuries could be the result of poor training or preparation or whatever. But like, when you get rolled up on or someone hits you and you land awkwardly, like those are things that you really can't control. The only injury that he that I remember specifically because I actually like used one of his injury videos as like a lead in for a post about injuring hamstrings. I'm pretty sure he had a hamstring injury last year, but what's interesting is that he pulled it when he was accelerating, and generally you'll see a hammy on like someone more so approaching top speed. It's like one of the more intense times to see a hamstring injury occur, but he does like a lot of good top speed work and his mechanics are pretty solid. So moral of the story is like, I knew that was going to happen. I also knew that there would be a lot of people that enjoyed it too. So like, you know, the 15, 20 comments from people being smart asses were going to be worth it. It was nice to see a lot of people acknowledge the fact that like, you know, injuries, especially for a running back, when you have such a pound ground and pound, like get a lot of carries and a lot of contacts, like they're going to happen. But it's also like, I don't know, man, like we're talking about his offseason training here and he's getting an injury in week six. Like, I don't necessarily know if you can, you know, point your finger at that. Like wear and tear, load on the body, fatigue, bad luck. I don't think anyone's ever really going to say hammy is bad luck, but like when you're getting 400 carries or 400, you know, carries and combined catches a year, like things are going to happen, overworking, like your week five or week six into the season. Maybe there's a little more fatigue. Maybe he was feeling tight and decided to play through it. Like there's a lot of things that can, you know, be at fault or be the reason for it. You know, so you never know. And then the other thing too, like, from a conventional wisdom standpoint, like the logic and things that are involved in his training from just like what we know from principles make sense. Like he works on his sprint mechanics. He trains 3 to 4 days a week and gets a lot of rest. Like nothing he's doing is incredibly out of the ordinary where you look and say, oh, that might lead to an injury. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I do.
What did you think of it? Like it's unfortunate. Like I knew that was going to be part of the territory of like doing a breakdown on that. I mean, it doesn't like, it's not going to make me hurt my feelings. Like, I'm not the one training him, but I knew I was going to have to like deal with comments like that. Like, oh, like, you know, why would you break this down? This guy's hurt a lot. I'm like, two of his last three injuries were rolled ankles. Like, how do you blame him for that?
Yeah, I think. And like the rolled ankles and then like the shoulder, like you said, I feel like whenever I'm not an expert by any means, but those are both like outside environment, like impact injuries, like that has nothing really to do with.
It wasn't like his shoulder, you know, started acting up on him throughout the year because he, you know, did upper body training throughout the off season that like put too much stress on his shoulder, and then it piled up, and you know, all these different things happen, and like then he got his shoulder hurt. Like if he dives or gets hit or someone lands on him, like there's really not that much you're gonna do about that. You know, I think it's unfortunate that happened sometimes. But yeah, I mean, like, what are you really supposed to do in that situation? I don't know, like, what you're supposed to really, how you're supposed to react to that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. And just back to, so I mean, and truthfully, there was obviously some comments, kind of like what you said, but overwhelmingly, they were positive comments. And I mean, no matter what, you're going to get negative stuff, no matter what you put out. But I thought it was really cool, again, similar to the Mahomes stuff, how you were kind of going back and forth with like training stuff and movement and how it related to like in-game stuff. So yeah, I really enjoyed it.
The Mahomes one kind of like wrote itself for me because, you know, I honestly, like, I just liked a lot of the exercises and I knew they related to certain things. And we talked about this, like, I went to go just find YouTube clips and like ended up realizing how close looking some of the things were to the training. And it wasn't even my intention to find those things.
Mm-hmm.
With the McCaffrey one, I wanted to more so go at it from less of a like, oh, look at these exercises he's doing, and more of like a philosophical, like approach type of breakdown, like what his training approach is.
Right.
Because what's interesting is, that article actually came out that I used a blurb from a couple years ago, and I saw it, and I made a couple tweets about it, and I was like, oh, it'd be cool to like put that into a video and do a breakdown, but I never really saw any footage on social media of him training. And then I YouTubed and found a couple things, and I didn't even end up using the YouTube videos. The only YouTube videos I use, like when I do it, like I went on like the ones where it was like the cutscenes of like him in the game.
Yeah.
But otherwise, like I ended up going on his Instagram page and scrolling a little bit, and I found a montage of like the summer 21 of like what he was doing to get ready. And it was all stuff that was like, oh, this will like really, this will really play well with like what I'm trying to talk about here. And I just liked it from like, here are four things that like he talks about that he thinks of when he comes to his training. And I think that like, you know, we could all learn a lot from this, because I think there's still so many people that have that whole, you know, grind till you die mentality.
Yeah.
I think it's cool sometimes to see like, hey, like what, listen, I don't care if the guy's had six injuries, like he's been an all pro running back. And like, he's gotten to that point from Stanford up into the NFL, which is a lot better than 99.5% of people will ever achieve in their life. So like, we do have a reason to listen to him, but it's just funny because like, if you post a video of like Alvin Kamara doing stuff and you bring up like the two or three injuries he's had since 2017, people are like, oh, you can't blame it for that. Like everyone always wants to like flip flop. Like yeah. I'm never going to like put Kamara video out there and then cite injury history as the reason for what I'm saying. I'm going to use logic and like training principles to make my claims about like unstable surface training and all that type of stuff. Right. And I think that like when people retort back, like, oh, he's really good, like he's, you know, whatever, then I might say like, all right, maybe like you want to take a look closer at his injury history, because he's like hurt his ankle and knee a couple times. And, you know, that's what people allege that BOSU ball training helps, you know, to reduce. So maybe like, maybe don't make that claim, but like, I don't know. I never go into it with the injury thing, because I feel like it can be freaky and it can happen unless there's like a really obvious connection. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. I agree. Okay. So,
oh, and then one more thing I wanted to bring up. Did you see my, my video on, Tyreek Hill?
Was it, the training with Glover? Is that yes. The one? Yes, I did yeah. See that.
Yeah. So did you find anything interesting on like the first exercise that I talked about on that video?
Was it the, I'm trying to remember which one it was.
So what is something that I always like talk about that I talk down against?
Unstable ground.
Yeah. So he was doing that, but on an AirX pad.
Oh yeah. It was like a foam thing, wasn't it?
And I said, like, I don't really mind that too much. Like it's not super, super unstable. It's using PT space. Like there's a lot of maybe prehab potential to it, because a physical therapy setting might use it when you're like coming back from a knee, foot, ankle injury. Okay. Like for proprioception, in terms of like getting better with using your foot to actually feel what's underneath you and like really like kind of segment it. So like if you're on that unstable ground, like your foot's going to kind of have to feel more what's underneath you. It's a big proprioception thing that's very much used in physical therapy settings. Okay. And that's like the one thing I always say, like, I don't mind if it's used in that sense, but the video that I found was his training in season. So I could understand from like a, you know, we're playing a lot, like let's get some basics and do some prehab, you know, type stuff to try to make the concerted effort to, you know, hedge and stay healthy. I didn't mind it in that sense. So I talked about that and I thought that was just like, I don't know. I was proud of myself for like being like, oh, like, you know, let me be semi well-rounded here.
Right.
Like, I don't really mind this.
You could have easily just stuck to like, without even like thinking like in depth, like, oh, unstable. Like, I don't like, yeah, I dig that.
Yeah. So like, I really wanted to just make sure that I touched on that, because, you know, there is a time and a place and there's a way to go about it. Like having six exercises in your training involve like, you know, wobbling on the BOSU balls and catching different sticks and doing all this other stuff is one thing, but like doing a simple single leg RDL on an AirX pad, which is like technically still a flat ground. It's not wobbling. It's more so just giving. And that's another thing too. Like there's give, right? Like moving and giving are two different things.
Right.
Like people make the argument all the time, like, oh, with turf gives a little bit, like that's what an AirX pad does. It gives a little bit, like it doesn't wobble.
Right.
And I think also like doing something, no one was here saying that like the AirX pad single leg RDL was super sport specific because of, you know, it being on an unstable surface. Whereas a lot of people try to make the claim that doing BOSU ball wobbling stuff, holding a football is like super sport specific because of balance, when it just doesn't make sense from like, what are the demands of the surface in the actual sport? Like no one was trying to sell it as that, which I think was like, he was just doing it. You know what I mean?
For sure. Yeah, that makes sense.
So I think that, you know, is something that, you know, is really big that I wanted to touch on. It's like, you know, hey, I'm not like super hypocritical here. You know what I mean?
Gary can be fair.
I try to be at least.
Yes. Yes. I don't know. Maybe you do or don't. So this is like, you had a tweet and a TikTok, and it did well both places. So just the jet stuff. I don't know if you want to talk about that at all.
Hi there, John. Is that your name? Whatever. Are you currently listening to a marketing or business podcast? Then you should check us out. Add to the Bone. It's about digital advertising, ad tech, and programmatic advertising. Trust me, one episode would already make you sound smart. I mean, smarter. Click this ad or search us up on your favorite podcasting app. Are you Add to the Bone? Then you should join us now.
Yeah, so I think the coolest part about that is, like, I never say I know somebody. I've never met Brad DeWeese in person. Like, we talked about this on the episode we did a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
I've never met him, but like, I've had interactions with him. Interestingly enough, our first interaction actually wasn't insanely positive.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no. So we were, there was a Les Spellman, who I've spoken about and I've actually had on the show, tweeted about falling starts and how he doesn't like them or use them a lot. And I kind of chimed in saying, hey, I could feel that. Like, I could see, like, falling starts sometimes build, you know, habits where the athlete lands in front of their body or does something we don't really want to see for a multitude of reasons. And Brad came in and was like, you know, don't condemn an exercise for its poor coach, if it's poorly coached or whatever. And, you know, Les was like, you know, got pissed because he thought he was trying to say I couldn't coach the thing right. And we had never interacted up until that point. So that was that. And then at some point, it simmered down a little bit throughout the rest of the thread. But then a couple months later, I think maybe he followed me or vice versa. We both followed each other. And I put up a drill where we were sprinting and then dropping foam rollers for agility. So like a partner would stand out on the turf, foam roller in his right hand, foam roller in his left hand, and both athletes would run and, you know, whatever foam roller dropped made them make a decision.
Yeah.
And he quoted it and said some really nice things and like thought it was great. And it was a really good interaction. And he DM'd me and he was like, hey, like, I love, you know, what you're doing to push the field forward. Let's definitely connect or something. So that was really cool. Cause like, I knew he was with the Jets and I knew he was super well respected. Like, he's had, you know, he's worked with multiple Olympic level athletes and, you know, people that have won medals and stuff. So the guy knows his shit. So it was really cool to hear that. And ever since then, you know, having that interaction, I was like, oh, like, at least this guy knows who I am. We've talked. Like, I would feel a little bit better doing a breakdown on what they're doing. And then it just so happened that, I knew that him coming on was a major philosophical change for the Jets. And it was also maybe a more of a point of discussion because so much of the opposite was going on with my favorite team, the Giants, across town, or not in the same town. I'm used to saying across town, like the Mets and Yankees, but they're in the same spot, like literally across the facility, different things were going on with the Jets and the Giants, where the Jets last year were doing all these shorter sprints, longer rest, resisted sprints, where all you heard from the Giants was conditioning and punishment running and ridiculous conditioning tests, like all this other stuff. So for me, it was like, ah, shit, like, I really think this is cool, but it's also going to stand out even more because of what this other team is doing that's in the same city. I basically wanted to go about this in the sense of like, here's what's going on at the NFL level. And also like, just kind of point out that it's still not 1,000% common at these levels. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, definitely. A lot of people commented like, oh, this is super basic. Like, what's the, like, why this is all stuff done at college? Because like, I'm like, no, it's not. Like, I know for a fact that it's not. First of all, with the Giants last year. Secondly, I've interacted with like countless different college programs in the sense of like athletes who play at these places come in to train and I see what they're getting being given in their all season packets, or I hear stories about what they're doing during, you know, when they're on campus. Like, I know that it's not 100% common, and that like, as much as some people might say this stuff is common sense and it's like easier, it's still not always the common thought process. Right.
Yeah.
So I think that like, it's super important to realize is that like, simple isn't easy in that sense. Like, it may seem simple in theory, but like implementing it the right way. And then also just having the common sense to know that like, these more basic principles are going to yield more than like the ridiculous running or the crazy different drills or stuff like that. Like, there was stuff on, like, there was a college team the other day having receivers do a drill with a chair in their hand. Like, it's still not like super, super common. Like, just because it made it to the Jets, it took a while for it to make it to the Jets.
Right.
I don't even know if it's yet made it to the Giants, because I haven't heard any stories about who's even there now ever since Joe Judge is gone. Like, I know the head coach isn't implementing it as much, but like, who's there on the strength side? How much input do they have? Like, you don't know that. And it's also like, I did the Browns video too. Like, there was a lot of good stuff there, and people don't understand either. Like, when I use an example that I see on social media, I'm not 1000% advocating for it. I've never done a snatch with anybody in my life.
Right.
But I liked how they had a clear plan for what they were doing. They were working on vertical hip extension, and I thought the videos they put together in the clip showed like what the session was built around. You know what I'm saying?
I do. Yeah.
And I think it's just like, you can't look at those things and think like, oh, because Jerry's making the breakdown. Like, I want people, like, let's be real. Like, this is gaining some momentum, and it seems like this is stuff people like to see me do. Cause like, I think it's a good mix between like, what am I doing with the actual athletes that come in the facility? What are we doing? I still got to get used to saying we, cause now there's like multiple trainers here. Like, what are we doing with the athletes we're working with, and giving examples of that and showing results and all the things that we're getting. But at the same time, like, okay, like, I can give you insight in a way that the average person wouldn't think of, because I do this and I train these people. But also, like, I'm not just some schmuck that like takes these clips and just gives my opinion. Like, I know Bobby Stroop, who works with Patrick Mahomes. Like, I've had conversations with Brad Deweese. Like, I've talked to these people. Corfist, I keep forgetting his first name, but Corfist, who works with McCaffrey, like, knows who I am. Like, he does stuff with Tony Holler. Like, I know these people, and I think I'm pretty sure they respect my opinion, because, you know, I wouldn't have their cell phone and be texting them if I didn't. What I say has some weight. And I think, like, I try to explain that, like, hey, like, Bob or Brad, you know, said thanks for highlighting the work and whatever. Like, I want people to know I'm not just some like jabroni giving my opinion on what teams are doing. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, for sure.
So I think it's good. And I think it's really important that like these high level college or high level pro athlete teams, or even these pro athletes, are doing stuff that is good and can be shown to kids to show them like, hey, this is what a guy's doing to get better. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So that's my breakdown on that. But yeah, the McCaffrey video, I knew the injury stuff would come up. The Jets video, I thought was just really cool, because I think it's still something that we need to strive for, is like to get that high performance mindset within every college and every professional team. And hopefully, you know, even trickle further down to high school and club teams and whatever. But like, high performance, meaning someone's there in charge and they're appointing the strength coaches and the people that are, you know, implementing it, if that makes sense.
It does. Yeah, for sure.
So, all right. Cool. Should we go to tweets?
Yeah. Let's see. So,
we'll do three and three. Three tweets, three questions. How's that sound?
Okay, sure. So you had two tweets. I wanted to touch base on the CrossFit stuff, because you sent something out, like a meme basically, with the wake up call meme.
Yes.
And it got a lot of likes, a lot of quote retweets, stuff like that. People asking for you to talk about it in the next episode.
Oh, were there people asking that?
Yeah. And then later, it looks like you kind of, you got more into it. I don't know if people were questioning you, but.
No, I just wanted to make a visual video. I thought it would go over on TikTok pretty well. And
yeah,
I thought it was cool to have some visuals and just put the reasons into like, you know, something you could see and listen to me talk versus just putting the tweet out.
So I'll read the tweet for people who haven't seen it. So, why I don't recommend CrossFit for athletes. One, work to rest ratio isn't similar to many team sports. Usual high rep use limit potential of athlete to exert full speed or force. Little focus on motor unit recruitment via heavy or dynamic. Little emphasis on sprints and jumps. You do like kind of finish off saying it's really hard. People who do it are in great shape. Beginner athlete could see gains, just like they see gains from a lot of different things. You just don't think it's ideal to do with athletes who are advancing and still think it's it would be good for them. So,
yeah. So I always like to preface that, because people get very emotional with this. They're like,
oh, yeah,
fuck you. Like, I do CrossFit and I'm in sick shape. Like, I don't give a shit. Like, that's not my point. I'm saying, like, what's going to help an athlete? You're in sick shape. You're jacked. You're yoked. That's all great. But is it going to help me be a better athlete? right? Is it going to help me sprint faster? Is it going to help me jump higher? Is it going to make me potentially be very healthy for what I'm trying to do in my sport? Does it relate to my sport? Like sport, you know, energy systems, like in terms of, you know, output and length of output versus length of rest, like where, you know what I'm trying to say? Like what, yeah, what are the, like when we really dice it down and beyond that, it's like, okay, like we can make memes, we can have fun, but like, it is also nice sometimes to just explain your reasoning behind things, because I do think sometimes people say things like, oh, like CrossFit's stupid for athletes. And like, why? Like, why is it? Like, do you have any reasons? Or are you just jumping on the bandwagon, or like,
yeah,
you know, it's a popular take or whatever it is. So I really wanted to make sure that I touched on that. And again, I'm not trying to disrespect anybody. I admire the people that do it. They're very strong. A lot of them at least are very strong and have, you know, good athletes for CrossFit, but the demands of CrossFit as a sport itself. And that's another thing people don't understand is like CrossFit itself as a sport, you train to get better at the events that they do. And then there was another comment or a couple other comments like, oh, like what way is it being used? I'm like, I'm talking about the mainstream way that everyone knows is CrossFit, right? Like your different implementation that's not super common doesn't matter to the point that I'm trying to make, because I'm talking about the mainstream general thought process when it goes to it. But yeah, no, I mean, I think that like first and foremost, like you don't see a lot of sprinting at full speeds with full rest and plyometrics involved in CrossFit programming, which I think is a big problem. They're two of the most important things you could do as an athlete. So that's number one. Number two, you know, generally speaking, sports require a work to rest ratio that is, you know, you work for a shorter amount of time at a really high speed, and then you, you know, you rest for a good amount of time to at least get semi recovered in a game or fully recovered in training. Like it's different. In CrossFit, it's go, 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 go. And you don't get a lot of that. Piggybacking off that, I think that this, you know, work to rest ratio doesn't allow as much of a, you know, go full speed and really exert yourself at a high level, which is honestly what you need to be doing. And if you're trying to build speed and power and strength. So like, if you're not rested enough, you can't exert your max output or move as much weight as you are potentially able to do or anything like that. So you don't build those qualities. And then number four, the rep ranges generally aren't conducive to what you're trying to accomplish from a power and strength standpoint. Nonstop reps or higher amounts of reps are more on the muscular endurance side of things. You know, you're not as much doing 1 to 5 reps heavier. At least, you know, you're not moving a bar as fast as humanly possible with a good amount of weight to build power and resting in between. Like it falls short in a lot of those areas. And I think if we just like take emotion out of the equation, you know, it really, you can think about it like logically, like what do sports demand and what does CrossFit provide in a general sense? And like, where are we not connecting the dots? You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Cool. So yeah, I wanted to make the video to kind of just show that. And
yeah,
I'm watching the videos too. I'm like, yeah, these guys are jacked. It's impressive, but like, it doesn't really help athletes. So, and that's another thing too, like, oh, like, you know, you could get a little bit of this, a little bit of that. I could do a lot of things. But what's going to be done that gets me the most for the least amount of effort.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of it. That's training. Like why, how much can I accomplish with a little amount of effort? Like that's my goal. Like if I can get to A or if I can get to B and I can get to A in 9 hours and a lot of sweat, and then get to B, and A and B are both the similar outlook or outcome that I want. And I can get to B in only a couple hours with a lot less sweat and wear and tear than I want to get to B.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that's how I look at it.
So we already kind of touched a little bit on injuries. So I think this one's kind of good to bring up too. And it had a lot of interaction, a lot of retweets. What some think causes injuries, strength training, weightlifting. What usually leads to injuries? Too many practices or games, too many reps and practice skill work, limited rest days, time off, excessive fatigued sprinting. So this, like, just to your point you just had now, I think, and I'll let you kind of go with it, but I feel like there's still that mentality of like the grind is so necessary.
Yeah, well, that, and also just like the weightlifting is the boogeyman type of thing.
Yeah.
Like it's the monster under our bed that doesn't really exist. Like it's poorly applied weightlifting, maybe. But you're more likely to get hurt if you're practicing too many times or sprinting when you're fatigued or sprinting after a long week of work and you have tired legs. Like you want to talk about lower body injuries, or you want to talk about arm injuries with baseball players from throwing too much or not resting enough, or not throwing enough even, like, to get strong enough. Like a lot of people are like so leery of things with weightlifting and they don't even think about these things. Like you gotta understand that, like, there's gonna be, you know, a point where you know, obviously, and we've said this so many times, like how you do something matters more than, or matters just as much, if not more than what you're doing. And how something is applied can be a big deciding factor in if it's good or not, or if it's effective or not. But, you know, you got to get past the whole, like, weightlifting is going to cause injuries, I'm worried about this, whatever, when you're not really focusing on all the other things that come up that could be, you know, doing that just as well. So that was the main point with that, is like, what people most often think, do something, they don't even think about the other stuff. Like, no one really thinks about six practices a week when someone gets injured. They ask what they did in the weight room. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. All right. So trying to just change directions, not get too many of the same thing. I did like this tweet. The one with the sports and condition, or strength and conditioning job, 40K per year.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
So strength and conditioning job, 40K per year requirements, master's degree, descendant of the first astronauts on the moon, 10 years coaching experience, contributor to the discovery of penicillin, and must hate spending time with family.
Yeah, it's just me being an asshole and being funny. But no, I just, you see these job postings. And I also, like, the more I hire people, the more I hear horror stories about, like, you know, oh, I was an intern and the GA or the assistant strength coach at this D1 school got this amount of money. And it was just so much work. And I just want to, we got to just keep bringing awareness to it. And I guess until people stop taking it and stop taking these jobs, and, like, you know, there's not someone that's going to just be smiling and willing to take it, like, there's no going to be no reason for them to raise the wages or change the pay. So I just, like, was trying to poke fun at that. And I think hyperbole sometimes could be a good way to, like, make people more aware of things. It's like, it's so ridiculous to, like, you see some of these things, it's like, oh, you need, you know, experience preferred or master's degree preferred. Like, what do we, do you want a 30-year-old who's never coached? But, like, how are you expecting someone to have coaching experience and be looking for an intro job with a master's degree? Because it means they just spent all their time in school, so they have no experience.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand, like, the logic behind that. And I think, like, actually interview people, like, make part of an interview, like, throw in the guy on the floor, the girl on the floor, and, like, seeing what they have, like, put them in this, like, in the facility and let them, like, get engaged with the athletes a little bit and see what they bring to the table. Like, have part of the interview process be to make a sample program for, like, spell out what your situation or your circumstances with the athletes that you're dealing with, and, like, have them plot out 6 months of programming or a plan or how they would assess them. Like, do that. Like, if someone can do that, like, what do I give a shit if they have a master's? I don't have a master's. I don't have a bachelor's degree in the field. I have a bachelor's degree in business. Like, it just doesn't, you know, and I know for sure, I'm not just saying this to be, you know, overconfident. I know I can coach better than 98% of people that have those degrees, because they're just, they don't have as much of a passion for it. They haven't been experienced in it in terms of learning stuff. Like, I get it. Like, I'm saying, like, experience wise, like, oh, like, you know, that's a big part for me, but you're not going to hire somebody for an entry level job that's got all this experience. Why would they be taking that job?
Yeah.
Like, I think you have to understand that. Or if, like, you're only going to pay 40K, you got to understand, like, you're not going to get the person that spent $100,000 on their degree, because they're going to want a higher paying job. They're going to go start a business. They're going to, you know, get a bigger level job. They're not going to take it. So I think that was just something that I wanted to touch on, because you still see it a lot, obviously.
The quote tweet, the best quote tweet award was a guy, Sean. He put, okay, I'm sorry, but this is a ridiculous exaggeration. You'd be looking at $30,000 max.
Yeah, people were really funny with that. I don't think there was any negative feedback.
No, like, nobody pushed back at all.
Yeah, they were really enjoying it. I mean, when you're just being funny, like, you can't get too mad at me for that. I was just trying to have fun with that. And my mind can, like, go on some crazy tangents thinking of things like descendants of the first people on the moon, like, creator of penicillin. Like, you could just be stupid. And, like, but I think doing things like that can help bring more attention, because you'll get a lot of likes because it's funny and it just gets spread out more. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. All right. You want to do some questions?
Yeah. Let's finish up with some questions.
All right. Caleb asks, new to Twitter, what are your thoughts on a 10th grade female 400 sprinter and long jumper continuing to run cross country? She ran cross country last fall and lost 12 pounds by the end of it. So she was at a muscular deficit before indoor track. We are debating on whether or not to run cross country again. She made it to regionals in cross country, but got bronze in the mile relay in Texas 3A. Sorry for being long-winded.
Yeah, no, I think you're, it's a great question. You're at that rock and a hard place spot. Like, when we talk about specializing in sports versus not, this is maybe your crossroads that we talk about. Like, if she wants to compete at the collegiate level I just was going to about to say college and collegiate. I kind of combined them. If you want to compete at the collegiate level and that's your goal, like you, for one of those things, you got to pick one. Like if the cross country is adversely impacting your 400, you got to give up the cross country. Like it's a no brainer. Like running long distance is going to, you know, cause some loss of lean mass and, you know, training slowly is not ideal for training to be more effective at getting faster. But if she's really good at cross country and that's where you think her future is, and she's a junior in high school, like let her make that push for that. Like, I think you have to make that decision. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's a matter of like, should I still do both? It's like, which one do you think is going to yield? Like if she wants, first of all, ask her if she wants to compete in college and she really feels strongly about that, then more than likely she's got to pick one or the other. And if that's the case, like which one is she better at? Like if cross country is the answer, she's better at cross country, then personally I'd keep her doing the 400 because getting faster and more explosive can be beneficial to your conditioning more than building up your conditioning is going to be beneficial to your short explosive bursts.
Yeah.
So I think that like, you gotta understand that, like if the cross country is going to be the move, you could probably still do the 400 and it won't adversely affect you as much as if you want to do the 400 to still do cross country. If that makes sense.
It does for sure.
So that's how I would go about it, is like have that talk. If it's something that she is passionate about, it's not someone telling her she should do it in college and she actually wants to do it, then that'd be my advice. If she's happy to do both in high school and doesn't really care too much beyond that, and she has fun with both, then you let her do both. That's how I would go about it.
Cool. Yeah, I think you covered that good. All right, Coach Smebby. In the weight room, are you a lower weight, high rep guy? I saw your last post about it. I'm really trying to nail down a perfect offseason for our 7th, 8th grade boys. I saw a lot about heavier weight, less reps. Thank you.
Yeah. No, I think above all else, like if you're working with younger athletes, especially like the, you know, puberty part isn't there yet as much to get as much benefit even from hypertrophy training in terms of like building size. Mm-hmm. Like the nervous system can be really developed. And if you want to like build quality movement, but also build like force output and motor unit recruitment, then the lighter or the lesser reps, higher weight is definitely the way to go with that. That's just like a technicality standpoint. Now, I know some people have had some luck with 1x20 programs. I don't know as much about that as some others do, but I think that's also a matter of like younger athletes are going to benefit from a lot of what you do. But I do think personally speaking, is even as we develop, like I like to prioritize one or two movements for 5 reps or less. And then we do more high rep stuff after. So like that conjugate style that I always talk about, you know, and that would be my answer. Like more than likely I'm going to be an advocate for the lesser reps, more weight and building control and ability to produce force. So that'd be my answer to that.
Cool. All right. More. Last one, Coach Tupper. Quick question for you. I go back and forth with this one. I have conditioned heavily day after game. I have done active recovery / stretching after games. Getting up in the morning is a must, but would you do post-game day after with your football team? I found like most things, anecdotal evidence, both work or maybe both don't work.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing people don't realize is like the off day and how helpful it is for recovery. Like mm-hmm. just have off. Like if you just, you know, got beat shit all week in practice and you had a tough game, like it's Sunday. Like if they play on Saturday, like let them rest. Like, you know, what's even better than recovery circuit, waking up at 8 a.m. to go do recovery, is sleeping for 3 more hours.
Right.
Right. So I think that's really important. You know, and I think some people like sometimes overlook, but I would also say too, like, you know, look at it from the perspective of, you know, feedback and you know, what they're comfortable with and all that type of stuff. Like, I think you have to really look at that and that's important.
For sure.
You know, like what's the vibe? Like if they're going to be in anyway, if they're at school that day or they have something to do and you want to give them something to do, or if it was going to be a planned training day and you have them come in and do that instead. But I think like having a Sunday recovery day to make them have to get up, like let them have an off day. Now, when it comes to like did he mention running in this?
I mean, he said conditioned heavily day after game.
Yeah. So I can't see the benefit in doing that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure there could be a circumstance like I'm not thinking of maybe that would be useful to do it. But like, I really can't see why you would condition athletes heavily after a game if it's like physically taxing. Like, I don't understand like the thought process there. It's like playing another game. So I don't know. I wouldn't do that. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe if you had some extenuating circumstances that I'm not aware of that you would like be able to explain to me. But like, I can't really see the benefit in doing that. So That would be my answer to that. Recovery days are great. We do them all the time, but more so in the sense of like being in place of other training we would do versus like, okay, we didn't have anything planned today, but let's do this. Like, let them just rest. You know what I mean?
Yep, for sure.
So is that everything?
I think so. I don't know why I just thought of this, but I think it'd be funny sometime if like on these questions, you made me answer first and then see how far off I am.
Oh, that'd be really good. I like that. We should do that. Yeah, next week we're doing that for sure. Awesome. Yeah, I'm down. I'm definitely down. See what your thoughts are. All right. Cool. So that was everything, guys. Thank you. Like I said before, rate, review, subscribe, share the show. You know, I hope you guys are enjoying it. Give us feedback and let us know. Mike, thanks again. Another great one. You know, it's been fun having someone to kind of bounce ideas off of and have kind of moderate the show. So I'm not just talking to myself for 45 minutes. So I think it was another fun one for sure.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks for having me.
All right, guys. Talk to you next week. Peace.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Muscles in Management brought to you by Challenger Strength. I'm your host, Jerry DiFilippo, signing off from the show that's changing how we view sports performance, training, and business.